Welcome to Blackter. Join me as I examine the best of Black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello, it is Gabe Moses, your host, and welcome back to Season 2 of Blackter. Wow, I have to say it feels great to even say that. It's been quite the year for all of us, and this podcast has been such a blessing to me and has allowed me to get through just a little more smoothly. If you are listening to this the same day of the release or the day after, thank you for taking time to listen in the midst of your holiday season. From all of us here at Blackter Podcast, which is pretty much just me, we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. When I began this podcast back in late June of this year, I had no idea I would even get to Season 2, let alone this early. I was actually just focused on getting through those first few episodes and getting an established audience. I was teaching myself the ropes of podcasting, and I finally feel like I'm legit. I am proud to confess now that I really know what I'm doing. So, with that being said, you are in for a real treat this season. I have so many beautiful things lined up. The episodes are a little longer, we got new music, as you've already heard, and special clues and hints at the end of each episode to figure out what the next episode will be about. So make sure at the end of each episode you listen until the very end to hear what those clues are. And of course, if you really wanted to, you could skip to the end right now, but that wouldn't be any fun. If you haven't done so already, be sure to follow me on all the socials at Blackter Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and now Twitter. Again, that's Blackter Podcast to get updates on new episodes and much more. You can also follow my personal account on Instagram at Gabe J. Moses. Before we begin, I would like to give a quick shout out to Purple Planets Music, a collection of music written and performed by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey. Phoenix Rising, the theme song for Season 2, comes from the collection of royalty-free tracks at purple-planet.com. Alright, I think we're ready to jump in and get into the subject of today's episode. We are beginning Season 2 the same way we started Season 1, with the great American poet, Mr. Langston Hughes. If you recall from my very first episode, I briefly analyzed Hughes' poem, I Too Sing America. Now it's time to take a look at his full body of work and let Langston be Hughes again. So without further ado, let's get into it. James Mercer Langston Hughes was born in Joplin, Missouri, on February 1st, 1901. He was the second child. His mother, Carolyn Mercer Langston, was a school teacher, writer, and an actress born in 1873. His father, James Nathaniel Hughes, was born in 1871. He married Carolyn and left soon after Langston was born, moving to Mexico to escape racism in America. To give you a little background about Hughes' family tree, both of his paternal great-grandmothers were enslaved Africans, while his great-grandfathers were white slave owners. After Hughes' father left and divorced his mother, Carolyn went on with her two children to find a job and make a living. Ending up in Kansas, Hughes was raised by his maternal grandmother, Mary Sampson Patterson Leary Langston, while his mother moved from job to job. Hughes' grandmother took on an important role in his life. She provided him with knowledge about his family history while ensuring that he was proud of his heritage and his roots. At a young age, Hughes was aware of the struggle of being Black in America and the racial injustices he would face in years to come. In grade school, Hughes fell in love with books and writing as he found a way to express himself through his lonely nature. As one of the two Black students in his English class, Hughes felt the pressure of being perfect and better than perfect. By middle school, he was elected to be his class poet. This was due to being the victim of a stereotype. As his teacher stressed the importance of rhythm in poetry, his classmates thought it was best he be class poet, since all black people have rhythm. His grandmother passed away in 1915, resulting in Hughes going to live with his aunt and uncle for about 2 years. After that, Hughes went to live with his mother in Illinois. By the time he was in high school, his mother remarried and settled down in Cleveland, Ohio. While attending Central High School, Hughes was experimenting more with his passion for writing. His teacher introduced him to poets such as Carl Sandburg and Walt Whitman. He wrote for the school magazine, edited the yearbook, and began writing his own stories and poems. After graduating high school in 1920, he went to live with his father in Mexico, trying to find assistance for his plans to attend Columbia University in New York. To his father's surprise, Hughes wanted to become a writer, rather than his expectation that Hughes would become an engineer. The two agreed that Hughes could become a writer as long as he studied engineering. The next year, Hughes returned to the U.S. and began school at Columbia University. Soon he would publish his first poem titled The Negro Speaks of Rivers in The Crisis magazine.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Langston Hughes left Columbia University in 1922 due to racial prejudices among the faculty and student body. He found his environment in Harlem to be more teaching than his life in college. While continuing to write and publish poetry, he would go on to work a number of jobs in New York. By 1923, Hughes was serving a tenure as a steward aboard the SS Malone, which took him from West Africa to Spain in a six-month period. He left the ship in 1924 and went to live in Paris. By November of that year, Hughes returned to the U.S. to continue writing while his career as a writer began to blossom. In 1925, he lived with his mother in Washington, D.C. He was employed at the Association for the Study of African American Life and History as the personal assistant for Carter G. Woodson. He quit due to time commitment issues and went on to work as a busboy at a hotel restaurant. While there, he met a famous poet by the name of Vachelle Lindsay. Lindsay read three of Hughes' poems while dining, and days later, he was a headline in the newspaper. With this newfound recognition, Hughes would receive a scholarship to Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. His poem, The Weary Blues, won first prize in the Opportunity Magazine literary competition. He was on his way to the top. He gained even more recognition at Lincoln University from novelist Carl Van Vechten. Vechten helped Hughes publish his first book of poetry in 1926. The book was named after his successful poem, The Weary Blues.
Droning a drowsy syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard a Negro play. Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of an old gas light, he did a lazy sway, he did a lazy sway to the tune of those weary blues. With his ebony hands on each ivory key, he made that poor piano moan with melody, oh, blues. Swaying to and fro on his rickety stool, he played that sad, raggy tune like a musical fool, sweet blues. Coming from a black man's soul, oh, blues. In a deep song voice with a melancholy tone, I heard that Negro sing, that old piano moan. Ain't got nobody in all this world. Ain't got nobody but myself. I was gwine to quit my frownin' and put my troubles on the shelf. Thump, thump, thump went his foot on the floor. He played a few chords, then he sang some more. I got the weary blues and I can't be satisfied. Got the weary blues and can't be satisfied. I ain't happy no more, and I wish that I had died. Far into the night he crooned that tune. The stars went out, and so did the moon. The singer stopped playing and went to bed, while the weary blues echoed through his head. He slept like a rock, or a man that's dead.
We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. So if you like what you're hearing so far in this episode, please, please, please leave me a review and a rating. For Apple and iPhone users, reviews can be left on Apple Podcast, and anyone can leave a review on podchaser.com. That's podchaser.com. Thank you in advance. Langston Hughes received high praises for his first book of poetry. He became known as the first to use the rhythm of jazz music in his work. His depiction of urban life was clear in all of his writing and celebrated among the black community. In 1927, his second book of poetry was published, Fine Clothes to the Jew. The title from the book comes from one of the lines in the poem, Hard Luck. The phrase stems from those who would pawn fine clothes to Jewish owner pawn shops. The collection was his least successful, as it was widely criticized in the black press. In 1929, Hughes graduated from Lincoln University, earning his bachelor's degree. He immediately went straight back to New York. His first novel, titled Not Without Laughter, was published in 1930. Not Without Laughter is set in the 1910s in Kansas. The story centers around Sandy Rogers, a young black boy and his family. Throughout the book, Sandy strives to be his best self in a small town, as he looks to be as great as Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. Hughes describes the novel as a semi-autobiographical piece. The book won the Harmon Gold Medal for Literature. After much success with the novel, he finally knew he could make a living as a writer. Throughout the 30s, Hughes traveled the country on lecture tours and also went abroad to the Soviet Union, Japan, and Haiti. Maxim Lieber became his literary agent in 1933, and by 1934, Hughes published his first collection of short stories titled The Ways of White Folks. This book was written while he lived in California, consists of 14 short stories, and examines the ups and downs of the reactions between white and black people. The stories include Cora Unashamed, The Blues I'm Playing, Father and Son, and the famous poem, Mother to Son.
Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it, and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor. Bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on, and reaching landings and turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
In 1935, Hughes started a theater troupe in Los Angeles. He soon found his way to writing scripts for both film and the theater. His first was co-writing the screenplay for the film Way Down South. By 1936, His famous poem, Let America Be America Again, was published in Esquire magazine. The next year, Hughes served as a war correspondent for a number of newspapers during the Spanish Civil War. In 1940, he published his first autobiography called The Big C. He was in Chicago in 1941 when he founded the Skyloft Players, a group of black playwrights whose goal was to have a theater to tell their stories from their perspective. Hughes wrote a column in the Chicago Defender, an online African-American newspaper, in which he gave those playwrights a voice while uplifting his own. The column ran for another 20 years. A character by the name of Jesse B. Semple, also known as Simple, was created by Hughes. The character was featured in The Defender, as well as other stories, plays, and novels. Simple represented the ordinary black man in America and provided a humorous take on tragic and violent issues surrounding racism. In 1945, Hughes contributed lyrics to the American opera Street Scene, which is based on the Elmer Rice play of the same name. Hughes was able to buy himself a house in Harlem after writing the libretto. He began teaching creative writing at Atlanta University and traveled back to Chicago to be a guest speaker at a university.
What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode?
Hughes published his famous poem in 1951 called Harlem. As you heard, the poem examines the American dream as it pertains to the African-American community, one that is sought after, but not guaranteed. Over the years, some believed Hughes to be a closeted homosexual. There were claims about special coded letters to his gay lovers within his poems and other writings. However, there is no set-in-stone evidence that this was true. He was never married or romantically involved with any woman. For the rest of his life, Hughes kept writing, publishing, and teaching. His work was some of the most recognized by any black writer of his time. More of his works include his second autobiography called I Wonder As I Wander, more novels and short stories surrounding the character Simple, a number of plays including Tambourines to Glory, Simply Heavenly, and Black Nativity, and more collections of poetry. On May 22, 1967, in New York City, Langston Hughes passed away from complications after surgery related to prostate cancer. He was 66 years old. His funeral was filled with jazz and blues music as a tribute to his musicality in his poetry. In 1981, his home in Harlem received New York City landmark status and was added to the National Register of Places in 1982. His legacy carries on to this day, as his work is still being taught in schools all across the world. A middle school in Virginia was named after him in 1979, as well as a high school in Georgia in 2009. His play Black Nativity was made into a film in 2013, which starred Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker, Jennifer Hudson, and Jacob Lattimore. His writings will forever live on in not just black history, but American history. To end this episode, I'll be reciting one of my favorite poems by Hughes. This poem is perhaps even more relevant today than it was when it was written. I ask that you listen to this with open ears, hearts, and minds, and think how you can contribute to making this country a better place for all of its people. Here is Let America Be America Again by Langston Hughes.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be the great, strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man, full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient, endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro servant to you all. I am the people, hungry, humble, mean. Hungry, yet today, despite the dream. Beaten, yet today, oh, pioneers! I am the man who never got ahead. The poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet, I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream. In the old world, while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea. And torn from black Africa's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free, not me? Surely not me, the millions on relief today? The millions shot down when we strike? The millions who have nothing for our pay? For all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again. The land that never has been yet, and yet must be. The land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me. Who made America? Whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain from those who live like leeches on the people's lives. We must take back our land again, America. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath. America will be out of the rack
and ruin of our gangster death. The rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies. We, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states and make America again. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow me on social media at Blackdirt Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get updates on new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Keep listening for special hints about the next episode. Until then, I'm Gabe Moses, and Black Artists Matter.
Goes to...